This morning, however, I want to begin our study together by turning our attention, there it is, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. That was so slow coming in, I don't know if I was going to make it or not. 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, verses 6 through 10. Paul says, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Sooner or later, someone is going to come to a point where they wonder, why don't more people obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? Now, in this reading, Paul makes it very important to obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Look at it carefully with us. He will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, that is, those who are totally opposed to and deny the existence of God, and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These would be in the category of those people in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, who cry out, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many mighty works in your name? And the Lord says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. They're the ones who think they're following the Lord, but they're not obeying the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we have to wonder, why don't more people obey the gospel? There has to be some good answers to this question. I would like to share a few of them with you this morning in the brief time that we have together. And hopefully these will be beneficial as we think about inviting and encouraging people to come and to hear the precious gospel proclaimed, especially now with this upcoming meeting where we have opportunities not only on the Lord's Day, but on Monday and Tuesday to bring people to come and to hear the gospel. First of all, I believe the reason why more people don't obey the gospel is they have inadequate information. Inadequate information. I use as an example here the Apostle Paul prior to obeying the gospel himself. Notice he says that to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, 13, I formerly was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly. What does that mean? Lack of information. He didn't know any better. He absolutely didn't know any better. And that was the case described by Peter in Acts chapter 3 and verse 17 of the people who caused Jesus to be crucified. Listen to what he says. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. They had inadequate information. They didn't know they were crucifying the Son of God. And of course, that doesn't excuse it. Ignorance is no excuse. But indeed, there is a problem with people who have inadequate information. But be cautious not to confuse them with the people Jesus describes in Matthew 13 and verse 15. Notice these quotes from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah now, and he says, the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. We're talking people here who don't want information. Don't tell me anything. You might upset my apple cart if you tell me something. I've ran into people like this. You want to sit down and study the Bible? Oh, no, I don't want to study that Bible. No. Well, why don't they? Because they might learn something there and make them uncomfortable. Might make them feel guilty. So they don't want the information. So inadequate information. Now, what are we going to do in order to teach them? What are we going to do? Well, there's any number of answers to this. We can teach them privately by sitting down with them and opening our Bibles and studying together. We can bring them into Bible class situations where they can come in and hear what's taught and ask questions and so forth. We can bring them to hear the gospel preached, which, like I said, in this gospel meeting is an excellent, excellent opportunity. Excellent. And in today's age, we can set them down at a computer and go over to the website and sit there and listen to a sermon with them. And actually have them look at the charts that go along with it while we're doing it. That's the next best thing to having them come here. And you know, that's important with some people because they've got a stigma about being in a church building, even though from the outside this doesn't look like one. But they have this stigma about it, and they will sit down in front of a computer with you. Yeah. And so here's your opportunity. Sit down, have them listen to a sermon. They can ask questions as you go along. You can pause it. You can open your Bibles and follow along. Excellent opportunity. So there's no end, really, to the opportunities that are presented to us to reach those who have inadequate information. But what's another reason why people don't obey the gospel? They may have heard it. And they may have been exposed to it many times, but they simply remain in unbelief. Oh yeah, I know what the gospel is. I've heard it. I've read it. I know what it says. But I just don't believe it. Now Paul, you remember, was a self-described enemy of Christ, not only because of ignorance, but unbelief. You think he had heard what they were teaching, that Jesus was the Christ? Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, he persecuted them for that reason, didn't he? He persecuted them. So, he was not only in ignorance, but unbelief. And do you know what? There are millions who do not believe that Jesus is the Christ in the world today. Millions. Now, they may say, oh, yeah, there's a fellow named Jesus lived a long time ago. Yeah, I know that. And they may say, well, yeah, he's a good man. You know, he did a lot of nice things and... You know, he wrote a lot of good books. Yeah, some people think that. He wrote a lot of good books. But they don't accept that he's the Messiah. They don't accept that he's the Son of God. He's on a par with Gandhi or something like that, you know. Real good man. But that's about it. And there are millions, consequently, who don't think that they will be eternally lost if they fail to obey the gospel. But what did we read in the introduction to our study this morning? What do the scriptures say? These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. I didn't make that up. That's what the scripture says right there in 2 Thessalonians. So, there are people who don't believe that. They don't believe it. And some believe the gospel, but only partially. That is, they, oh yeah, I believe Jesus is Christ. Yeah, I believe that. I believe he's the Son of God. Yeah, I believe that. But I don't believe all those things that he taught are really necessary. You know, are we having a severe weather warning? It won't affect us. The river's below us. I haven't ever heard that sound in the middle of a worship assembly before. I used to have that as my ringtone on my phone. I held a meeting in Texas one time and we were out in the park. And all of a sudden, my phone rang and they thought there was a tornado warning. Okay. The preacher said, I've never heard that ringtone before. That was Bob Archer. Okay, let's get back on target here, okay. Okay, some only believe the gospel partially. They treat the gospel kind of like they do a smorgasbord, or maybe whenever you go to you guys understand better, go to Subway and order a sandwich. Right? Okay? I don't know a whole lot of people who go into Subway and say, give me that sandwich, and that's it. They just take it. They don't tell them what to put on it. They just take however it comes. I don't know many people like that. At least not in my association. Yeah, I want that. Get put more lettuce on there. Yeah, I want more tomato. I want the good tomatoes. Give me some good tomatoes. You know. Oh, don't want any of those hot peppers. No, those onions, you know. They treat the gospel that way. Oh, I like Jesus. Yeah, I like Jesus. I like the idea of being saved by Jesus. That's a good idea. But when it comes to all these other things, I don't know if I have to obey those. And so they only partially accept the gospel. Some have come to believe that faith only will save them. Now notice, faith only means it's exclusive of obedience. You get that? People say, oh, you only have to believe. You only have to believe. Well, dear ones, if you only have to believe, that's all you have to do. So my question would be, what happened to this statement that those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ are going to be punished? What about that? What are you going to do with that? Obedience is not an option. It is absolutely necessary. So there's a problem we run into right there. And then others, of course, forget that the gospel is God's power to save. Why is that jumping up and down? Are we getting an earthquake along with this? Okay, the gospel is God's power to save. And it only saves those who believe and obey. How do I know that? Well, first of all, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all those who believe, to Jew first, and also to the Greek. Romans 1:16. But notice down here, Hebrews 5, verse 8 and 9. Though Christ was a son, yet he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. And what did he become? The author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. Obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That goes right back to our reading, doesn't it? Goes right back to it. So, these are some of the important things that we need to consider when it comes to why more people don't obey the gospel. Now, I have another one for you. Why more people don't obey the gospel. And that is sin. You say, what do you mean sin? Well, I mean this. I mean that they are so caught up in this world and the sinful things of this world that obeying the gospel is the furthest thing from their mind. That's what I mean. They believe that the world has everything to offer that they want, and they sure don't want to hear about any of this Jesus stuff. And so, they're not going to obey the gospel, are they? They don't have anything to do with it. But you know, Moses saw the folly of sin, realizing that it was only for a season. That's what the Hebrew writer tells us over in Hebrews 11, 24 through 27. That whenever Moses came to full age, even though he had a right to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, which meant what? He was in line for Pharaoh somewhere down the line. But choosing rather, Moses did, to suffer the affliction with the people of God, and rather than enjoying the passing pleasures of sin. King James says it's pleasures of sin for a season. There we go. Couldn't get those words to come out. The passing pleasures of sin. Why? Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Why did he do that? Because he looked to the reward. There's the whole thing right there. Sin is only for a brief time. Many things that are sinful only give momentary pleasure. In fact, some of them give momentary pleasure and then afterwards leave you in pain. Like a real stiff hangover, maybe. But some people think it's worth it for the passing pleasure. The passing pleasure of sin. And they don't want anything to do with Jesus. And consequently, we find millions today in the world who love darkness rather than light. And you know why? Because their deeds are evil. Jesus talked about this, recorded in John 3, if you want to look over there with me. John 3 begins verse 19. This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For if everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Excuse me, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Excuse me. We talked about this in class this morning. We were talking about God being light. You remember that? And I just drowned myself. Sorry about that. I'll come to the surface in a minute. Light exposes things. If I leave the light off in my office, it looks pretty good. Yep, looks pretty good. But when I turn the light on, uh-oh, what a mess. People's lives are that way. As long as you don't shine the light of God's Word on their life, it's pretty good. But whenever you shine the light on it, uh-oh, what a mess. Why? Because they have chosen not to obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why. That is simple as it can possibly be. What happens with sin, and the reason why millions love darkness rather than light, is you become a slave of evil. You become a slave of evil. Peter talks about in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 14, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. This problem was a problem with Israel of old. In Hebrews 3, verses 7 and 8, he talks about the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, speaking to the people, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness. And then again down in verse 13, exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin has the ability to draw you in and to make you feel real good, feel real comfortable, and to think everything's okay. And all the while, it's destroying you. Spiritually, it's destroying you. And that's why it's so dangerous. I read an article, and I've seen this before many times, but read an article this past week, and it said that if the devil walked into your house and said, I'm the devil, I've come to cause all of you to go to eternal torment, why, you'd get him out of there as fast as you could. But he doesn't do that. He comes in there in disguise, and he says, hey, I'm here to make your life better. I'm going to show you how to have fun. I'm going to show you how to really get all the gusto out of life. And ain't it wonderful? And then, what does he do? He destroys you spiritually. He destroys you. If that's hail, I hope my car didn't get beat up. That's bad. Are you sure we're okay, Edward? Oh, okay. All right. Hey, if Edward says we're okay, we're okay. All right. Here's one for you to think about. Millions are deceived who pay on the installment plan. I'm not talking about a loan for a car or a loan for something you bought at Walmart, something like that. But listen to this. People today don't see sin being punished immediately. We don't hear about people who get out in the street and do horrible, sinful things, having lightning come down and strike them. But I'm dead right there on the spot. There's times when you wish it would, but it doesn't happen, does it? And you know what some people think about that? You've seen it, haven't you? Well, if there's a God, have him strike me with lightning right now. Come on, strike me. Oh, you wish it would. But he doesn't. And so, you know what the conclusion is? God's not going to punish anybody. He had a great opportunity right there. He's not going to punish anybody. And so, they keep on the installment plan. They think they're going to get by. They're going to get by. But listen to what Ecclesiastes 8 and 11 says. Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Got away with it last time. I'll get away with it again. And on and on and on and on it goes. Now, opportune that we have this lovely bunch of young people here on the front row, which I'm so glad to see them. And by the way, I want to tell you how much they are to be commended. In the absence of Lauren, who normally teaches their class this morning, they had the class. They sat down and studied God's Word. They had their lesson material. And I heard it was a great study. I'm very proud of them. Okay? But this next one is a very common reason why young people, especially, not just young people, but young people, don't obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what it is? Popularity. Popularity. As young people and as adults, we want to be accepted. We want to be part of things. We don't want to be the outcast who's over here in the corner somewhere. We want to be accepted. Now, what would people say at my school if they found out that I had learned the gospel of Jesus Christ and had been obedient to it and had determined to live a righteous life from this day on? What would the people at school say about that? So you think you're too good for us? What makes you think you're so good? I've never done that. I'm just as good as you are. Shame on you for thinking you're better than everyone else. And we've heard this happen to people. And we think, not me. Not me. And so what happens? Well, we take the easy course. We blend in. We become popular. And we enjoy the passing pleasures of sin for a moment. And then pay for it the rest of our lives. Really, what this comes down to in all age brackets is a love of the praise of men more than the praise of God. There were men of high rank in the Sanhedrin when Jesus walked among them who believed that Jesus was the Messiah. But you know what? They wouldn't confess it. Why? Because it would take away their status and popularity. So they wouldn't confess it. Folks today are no better than they were whenever they let popularity rule the way they live their lives. Do you know what popularity amounts to? It amounts to going with the flow. Going against the tide. And some people just will not do it. And so, they they do not obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, what did that passage say? Go back and read it in 2 Thessalonians. It ain't pleasant. But they're willing to sacrifice their eternal soul to be popular. And dear ones, young and old alike, it ain't worth it. Eternity is too long, death is too certain to take chances with your precious soul like that. But many do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ because they've been immunized against it. I think, just a minute. Now, I didn't hear about that shot. I've heard of the flu shot, and I've heard of the measles shot, and I've heard of the pneumonia shot, but I haven't heard about that one. Well, here's how you get immunized against obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. You believe a lie. And that will immunize you. You believe a lie. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2, beginning with verse 11. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 11. For this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all may be condemned. Now listen to what it is. Who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They didn't want the truth. They wanted to hear something else. Something made them happy. Something made them feel confident. And so they believed the lie. And they received their just reward. Dear hearts, this is the same people Jesus talked about in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. They choose the wrong way. Yep. And absolutely, this is what we mean by it. Immunized. Once you believe the lie, God said, okay, if you want to believe a lie, you can have it. And you'll pay the price. What it really comes down to is they have obeyed a substitute for the gospel. That's really what it comes down to. They've obeyed a substitute for the gospel. Whether it be faith only or sprinkling for baptism or whatever it is, it's not in the Bible. And so they've done something other than that. And thus, they have sacrificed their eternal souls. This next one is a real bad one, and that is indifference. Millions refuse to become personally involved in any depth of feeling and thinking for themselves. They don't want to get into it. You know, there's just, I have so much in my life. I got a job, I got a family, I got all these responsibilities, all these payments to make, and I just don't want to get too involved in anything that involves me emotionally and causes me to have to think for myself. And so what do? Well, most generally what will happen is they'll accept their parents' religion without any real examination or involvement whatsoever. Whatever their parents were religiously, that's what they are. Did they ever open their Bible to see if it's right or wrong? No. My parents did it, and you know, it's easy. I'll just slide down that chute. Go the way they went. Well, what if they went the wrong way? And what if you've put more confidence in your parents than you have in the Lord Jesus? What about that? Well, let me tell you what Jesus said about it in Luke chapter 14 and verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And you say, well, what do you mean by hate? Well, the word hate here is used in the sense of love less than. It doesn't mean to despise. That's not what the word means here. It means that when it comes right down to it, the most important thing in your life is obeying the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not what your father or mother or wife or children or brothers and sisters do or don't do. That's not the determining factor. you have to be totally, completely committed to obeying Him. And what happens to people, though, who don't? Well, they get to accepting traditions or customs as gospel. I'm told of a man in a congregation who was asked to lead a prayer after the singing of a song. And he questioned it. And he said, well, why? And you know why? Because they had always sung two songs before they had the prayer. They had always sung two songs. What had happened to him? He had taken tradition and put it into a place of law. And that was more important to him than doing what the Lord wants us to do. We need to check ourselves often and see how many times we answer biblical or spiritual questions by what we have always done rather than the Scripture says. You may have always done this, and you can't find it over here. Now, which is more important to you? The way you've always done it, or what the Scriptures say? That's very important. I read an interesting saying, and this is one of those that would probably circulate on Facebook a whole lot. And that is, an honest man alters his ideas to fit the truth. A prejudiced man alters the truth to fit his ideas. And you know, that's just as true as it can be. When you open up your Bible and all you are determined to do is prove what you already believe, guess what? You're going to prove it. You know why? Because God will allow you to believe a lie. If you're not open and receptive to the truth, He'll allow you to believe a lie. But an honest person opens up the Bible and says, okay, now, Lord, what do you tell me here? I'm going to do it. Whatever it is, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to ask questions. I'm not going to say, but I always, no. I'm going to do what you said. No matter what my family says, no matter what my friends say, I'm going to do it. Why? Because I know that to not obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has eternal consequences. And I don't want any part of that. Don't want any part of it. So, which are you? Which describes you? Think carefully about it. Procrastination causes many people not to obey the gospel. Felix was one of them. You know, when I have a convenient time, I will call for you. Why? Because when he heard the gospel, it made him shake. One version says his knees were shaking. It scared him that bad. But the time is never right. No matter what you say, it's never the right time. There's always something. And unfortunately, these people die in their sins. Never let the shallow excuses cause you to not obey the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These are nothing but excuses, and they will be eternally detrimental to your soul. What do you need to do? Well, first of all, according to Romans 6, 1 through 4, you need to die to sin. Listen to it. How shall we say then, or what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, how can we do that? Certainly not. Why? Because we who have died to sin don't live in it anymore. Read your Bible. Isn't that what it says? We who have died to sin don't live in it any longer. What do you mean by this, Paul? Verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him in baptism, or buried with Him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Why? We're dead to sin. What does that mean? We don't have a living relationship with sin anymore. Sin don't live here anymore. That should be our theme. Sin don't live here anymore. But we're alive in Christ. That's what we need to be concerned about. The brothers and sisters of the rich man in Luke chapter 16, 19 through 31, would not obey either. You know, the rich man wanted
Abraham to send back Lazarus from the dead. He said, if he'll go back there and talk to my brothers, they'll do what's right. And you know what Abraham said? Mm-mm, it won't happen. If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, neither would they listen to one if he came back from the dead. What did he have in mind there, I wonder, huh? Let's see. Do we know anybody who came back from the dead? Oh, yeah, Jesus. Why don't more people obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? He came back from the dead and told us. Told us what we need to do to avoid this. But still, people turn their backs on the gospel and they do not obey it. The call of Jesus Christ for you is to obey the gospel. It is like a loving, pleading call of a mother who stands outside a burning building and knows her small child is in there, and she calls out, come out to me, with her arms open. That's the kind of call we have from Jesus. That's the kind of call we have from Jesus. He's calling us into the arms of safety and love and acceptance. That's the call that we have from Jesus. So, surely, knowing all of these things, you will hear the sweet voice of Jesus say, come unto me, I am the way. Think seriously about your position with respect to God this morning. If you have not yet obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, you are only a step away from doing it. Only a step away. Whenever the invitation song is sung, make your way up here to the front. Express your wishes to be obedient to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And upon your confession of faith in Him from a heart filled with belief that has changed because of that belief, we will take your confession and we will see to it that you are baptized into Christ post haste. And then you will walk in newness of life. And then you won't have to worry about that passage we read over there about what's going to happen to those who don't obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think seriously about it with a view towards eternity while we stand and while we sing. Won't you come?